Scripture this morning is found in Ephesians 2, verse 8. It is by grace that you are saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God.
Well, good morning, everyone. I was just thinking that one time when I got up to speak, I had two different colored socks. You prepare for these sermons and you think of all these things that can go bad. We were just talking with the elders in the back room as we were having prayer there. That one time Larry got up and, remember this, Larry? Gave his sermon, and halfway through the sermon he kind of waited for a minute. Later we learned that he lost one of his notes on the way to church. So we always worry about those things when you're asked to give the message. And how do we handle it? We go to God in prayer. So would you bow your heads with me? Well, thank you, Heavenly Father, for always being there with us, bringing us peace in those bad times, always assuring us that you'll be with us no matter where we go. Well, come with us. May the Holy Spirit be here with us. May this message bring happiness and joy to all of us and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, parents and grandparents, do you remember when your child became a teenager and they got their driver's license? Scary times, wasn't it? And you remember the first time that they were behind the steering wheel and you were in the passenger seat? I won't go into detail about my daughter, Cindy, as we went off the road and up the hill and through the fence. Maybe some of you young adults here can relate to your maiden voyage with your parents. Who is the most nervous, the parent or you? I'm going to start this message off today by sharing a parable. It's about a young boy who had just got his driver's license. Now he was eager to get his first car. He couldn't afford a new one, and besides, he had better plans for another one. So he went by the used car dealership. There it was. His heart started beating. There it was. He saw the car that he wanted to purchase, and he makes up his mind right there and then to purchase it with good, hard, cold cash. As he saves his money, he goes by the car dealership daily to see if his car is still there. One day, he thinks he has enough money saved, so he confronts the used car dealer. He finds out then that he did not have enough money saved, and the man gives him a price that was twice as much as what he had saved. Well, the young man doesn't get discouraged. He continues to save, and he's getting closer to his goal. However, he gets nervous. Will his car still be there? Now remember, this is a parable. Back at the car lot, the car hears how much is being asked for him. The car is worried because he's also heard about this boy who wanted to purchase him. The car starts thinking, my, how could anyone pay for me? And the heart of the car starts to sink. Surely no one's going to buy me. If that boy knew just how much I was worth, he certainly wouldn't buy me. He doesn't know that my carburetor's all choked up. He doesn't know that my battery's dead. He probably doesn't know that my tires are as smooth as a baby's bottom. Carr said, I don't think anyone wants me. Why would they? Well, one day the boy has the money saved up, and his car is still there, and he goes in and puts the money down. He goes out to look at the car. He opens up the hood. Of course he still wants that car. Been going by there every day. The car still wonders, why would he want to take old rusted up me? I'm not worth the price. How could anyone love me? And why does he want to show me off? Did you know that the Bible says God wants to show us off to the universe? Oh, that amazing grace of God. You see, this man called Jesus received sinners, but he doesn't keep them that way. He wants to do something for us, and he wants to do something inside of us. First of all, he wants to give us a new name. He does not say something like, look at my piece of junk. No, he gives us a new name. He gives us a new name, and that new name is his own. Isn't it marvelous that he gives us a new paint job and all the works after accepting us just as we are? And we stand before God as if we had never sinned. Bible students call this justification by faith. Just as if I had never sinned. But does God stop there? No. God has wonderful plans for us. And Bible students call that sanctification by faith. It's a sanctification that works only by love. You see, he wants to take that old choked up carburetor and replace it with a chrome-plated four-barrel beauty and all the works around it. In the parable, the boy opens up the hood to show off what he had done. And Jesus opens up the hood of our lives to show everyone so that they can see the change. Now we have that new paint job that shines like the sun, and inside, we're changing as well. He wants to take off those baby smooth tires and replace them with the best radios money can buy. Now, you'd never think he'd want to do that with a brand new shiny Cadillac, would you? However, he wants to do that with you and me. As we come to him, acknowledging that we're helpless, hopeless, and lifeless apart from him, we then begin to change. He changes us. This parable reminds me of a man named Zacchaeus. I'd like you to start turning in your Bibles to Luke, the 19th chapter, and in a moment we're going to be reading from verses 1 through 10. We're going to be looking at the nuggets in this story of a man who was considered a chief crook. A man who was wealthy, but he gained it all by dishonest practices. We know that dishonest practices still continue today, where a lot of cheating goes on for that almighty dollar. And like today, back in the days of Jesus, people would have compromised their standards, and they would lie and cheat simply for personal gain. And so, Zacchaeus was that man. You know the story. You've sang the song. You heard Nona playing a little rendition of it there a moment ago. But did you know that the name Zacchaeus means pure? What a name for a cheater. Ironic that he was a pure sinner who came to a point in his life where he wanted to be purely forgiven. Well, it was the days before the Passover, so there was a great throng of people. It was a time when Jesus had just healed blind Bartimaeus while entering into Jericho. Something was stirring inside of Zacchaeus after hearing John the Baptist at another time, and he heard him warning the tax collectors not to collect more than what was legal. Did you know that Zacchaeus was the chief over the other tax collectors? And therefore one of the greatest outcasts of society. But now he wanted to see Jesus. So let's read about it. Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because of his little stature. And he ran before, climbed up into a sycamore tree, where he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to that place, he looked up, saw him, said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for I must abide at thy house. And he made haste, and he came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be the guest of a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Verse 9, And Jesus said to him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. What a story. Here we have a hated tax collector because everyone who knew him had been shortchanged. A man who had great position, great wealth, but he didn't have any friends. What would it be like to have great wealth, great possessions, but not have any friends? You know, this has got to be a lonely man. And that was Zacchaeus. Everyone detested not only him, but his name. Well, he heard Jesus was coming to town, but he wanted to change. He wanted to see Jesus. He needed a friend. And when you want to see Jesus, you'll climb any tree, no matter how high the tree is. So there were the church people gathered around Jesus as he told Zacchaeus to come down. They started grumbling and said, "This man has gone to be a guest in the house of a sinner." Zacchaeus continued to look at Jesus instead of the faces that hated him so much. He stopped and he said to Jesus, while the crowds listened, "I will restore to them fourfold." Because Zacchaeus was branded a sinner, he was removed from the book of rewards, which was given to all the descendants of Abraham. And now Jesus reads him back into the divine book of favor, as we just read in verse 9. You see, Jesus had been sent to this world to show the true face of his Father. The face from Jesus revealed to Zacchaeus that he did not care what he had done, for he still loved him. And what does the face tell us anyway? When we meet people on the street, does our face show a face of grace that says, "I accept you just as you are"? Like Jesus, does our face have grace written on it? With the face of grace, they will know that we love them. They can tell. Then we can be used by God to heal and encourage them. Even when someone is hated by others, they will see our kindness instead. So our final message is to show the true character of love. Our mission is to show people that they can be written into the book of life. Zacchaeus had heard about the other tax collector named Matthew, and he wanted to be like him. Did Jesus say to Zacchaeus that he got caught with his hand in the cookie jar? And did he point out all his other sins? No, he only said, "Salvation is coming to your house, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." At first, Zacchaeus had the wrong picture of Jesus and was afraid of him because he did not know what Jesus was really like. After all, everybody else hated him. Why wouldn't Jesus? You know that many people in the world today still have a distorted picture of God like that? Where can they go? And who will show them the true picture of God? One writer puts it this way: "The last ray of merciful light and the last words of mercy to be given to the world is a revelation of his character of love. And the children of God are to manifest his character wherever they go." Our mission is to show the true character of Christ. But how can we really do that? First, every Bible truth should make God look good, not bad. Secondly, by the way we treat one another. So may our face be a face of grace as a result of looking to Jesus, who is the face of that amazing grace. We can learn how to treat sinners who find themselves up a tree. I wonder what Zacchaeus made for dinner when Jesus came over. We're told that members of his household benefited from Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus was honored to have Jesus there. Why? Because now he had a friend. While Jesus had been in the hustle and the bustle of the crowds, he was tired and pulled this way and that. He could have bypassed another sinner, but he knew he had something to offer. He was looking at the heart of Zacchaeus and not on his outside appearance or what he had done. Jesus will always stop for us when we're up a tree, and he wants us to get to know him. This is the gospel of grace as he comes to the house of a sinner. For while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now the gospel of the kingdom does not say that whosoever does good works will be saved. The gospel says that whosoever believeth in him shall be saved. And so the works of Zacchaeus came after he met Jesus, because his heart was changing. Jesus does not come to those who feel they have no need. In fact, Revelation 3:20 in essence tells us, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if you will open it, then I will come in and we will sup together." We will eat supper together. We will fellowship together. We will form a relationship together. But now I want you to notice what Jesus did not say. He did not say, "Zacchaeus, come down from that tree right now, and I want you to give back all those Persian robes, all those beautiful paintings, all that money that you got from being dishonest. And nor did he say, you come down and go clean up your house and clean up your act, and by this time next month when I come back through here, then we can be friends. Then I'll be your savior. Then we can fellowship together. Is that what he said? No. He didn't say that. Praise God he didn't say that. He said, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to dine with you, and I want you to know me, and I want to get to know you better. He had gone to be the guest with a man who was a sinner. And this is the very heart of the gospel. That's the very foundation of the good news of righteousness by faith. He wants to come to our houses and dine with us. And every time we offer the blessing, we're inviting him right there to be with us. You know, by nature, our natural responses are that we are so weighted down from our past, and every day it seems like we have blown it again and again. The devil tells us we aren't good enough for God to accept us just as we are. I'm not obedient enough for God to accept me. Have you ever thought that or said that before? I think we all have. I tell you, the devil has tempted all of us to think that way, and he continues to tempt us to think that way. If I could just be good enough, is that what the Bible really teaches? Is that the true face of grace? What picture of God do you and I have? Let's look at the Bible. Does it say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever does good works? No. Is that what it said? No. Jesus reminds us that whosoever believes in me should not perish but have everlasting life. But can it really be that simple? Do you agree with me that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us? When we were his enemies, he reconciled himself to us. This man receives sinners, is what the crowds were saying. He's gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. You see, the foundation of the gospel is not making yourself better, and then Jesus will love you and accept you into his kingdom. Even in a book called Steps to Christ, the author tells it this way. The Bible does not teach that a sinner must repent before he can heed the invitation of Christ. Gospel is simply this, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus loves you. He loves you in your filth, loves you in your degradation, loves you in your selfishness, and he loves you in your perversity. He wants for you and me to come to him just as we are. Are you ready to do that? Is it that simple? I'll ask that again. Jesus loves us, and he wants to come to us just as we are. Think about it. You've heard some of the stories of his great love for everyone. How did the leper come to Jesus? Was it after his leprosy was healed? How did blind Bartimaeus come to Jesus? Was it after his eyesight was restored? No. And how did Zacchaeus come to Jesus? They all came just as they were, and they got a good look at the face of grace on Jesus. Then it happens. This is what happens. Stay with me. Notice what happened. When Zacchaeus realized that he could be forgiven, when he realized that God could give him hope, then he said, well, Lord, now I'm going to make things right. Now that's the right order, isn't it? Well, you see, there must be a response to the gospel. There must be a response to God's amazing grace and his love. The response will come naturally as Jesus gives us that new paint job and that new chrome carburetor, as the parable had mentioned. Where there is no sanctification, it's evident that we have not been justified. We haven't accepted the cleanup that is so freely offered to us. Where there is no face of grace in our lives, it's obvious that we need to spend more time looking into the grace face of Jesus Christ. We aren't talking about cheap grace that gives the impression, well, now that I'm free, I can be free to disobey and still be saved. That's not what I'm saying. Yet that's what some people believe and teach and feel. The kind of grace commitment that I'm talking about today is the grace that says, you are now free. Now, free in a way that you have never been free before. Let me explain it in a different way. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we learn how to be able to obey. We are now free to obey in a way that we have never obeyed before. And now we can obey not out of fear, not out of obligation, but because we have seen His life. And the Bible is clear. The Spirit is cleaning us up. He continues to clean us up. We experience His love of grace, and our excitement wants us to share our new freedom with others. Even in that little book of Jude, which only has one chapter, verse 24, it tells us this: now unto Him who is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. He loves to show our new lives off. He keeps us from falling. Do you believe that? Let's not limit the power of the blood of Christ that was shed for us on the cross of Calvary. Now unto Him who is able to keep you from falling. That same God who forgives is the same God who enables us to have victory in Jesus every day. Now imagine with me a newspaper reporter coming from Jerusalem. It was kind of a far journey, but he needed to get that front page story. And it was a good story. You can imagine what it read. Dishonest tax collector makes things right. And the reporter asks Zacchaeus, Tell us, Zacchaeus, what's your motive? Why are you doing this? Are you offered some kind of a reward or something? We can see that you're different now, Zacchaeus. You're not the same person. What's up with you anyway? And everyone is looking to Zacchaeus for the answer. Zacchaeus responds and says, the only reason I'm different today is because God, through His Son, Jesus Christ, has given me His grace. I saw grace in the face of Jesus. He has given me His love and acceptance and His forgiveness. And in response to His grace, I am choosing to obey Him. You heard it. Never in order to be saved, because I'm already saved in Jesus Christ. Well, one more question the reporter asked Zacchaeus. It's what makes you think you're going to continue this way and not going back to your old ways? I think Zacchaeus might have said something like this: without a relationship with Jesus Christ, I can do nothing. But with a relationship with Christ, I can do all things. It's true, isn't it? This has been the theme and the thrust of God's Word throughout the Bible. You know, when we keep looking at our own lives and our own failures and our own past, there's not a chance in the world that we can be saved. But when we look and keep looking to Jesus, at His might, at His mercy, and at His face of grace, there's not a chance in the world that we can be lost. I'll share one more short story with you, because it's been on the news quite a bit. President Nixon has been in the news and refers back to the 1970s era. He was former U.S. president who was infamous for his place in the center of the Watergate scandal. He disgraced both the office of the President of the United States and the United States itself in the eyes of the world. When Hubert Humphrey, a former U.S. president, died, Nixon attended that funeral. Dignitaries from all over the country and around the world came, and yet Nixon was made to feel decidedly unwelcome. People turned their eyes away and conversation ran dry around him, and Nixon could feel the ostracism against him as he stood there with his head down. Then Jimmy Carter, the serving U.S. president, walked into the room. Carter was from a different political party than Nixon and well known for his honesty and integrity. As he moved toward his seat, he saw Nixon standing there all alone. Carter immediately changed his course, walked over to Nixon and said, "Welcome home, Mr. President. Welcome home." Did you know that the incident was reported by Newsweek magazine, which wrote, "If there was ever a turning point in Nixon's long ordeal in the wilderness, It was that moment and that gesture of love and compassion. You see, Carter gifted Nixon with his love and compassion. Nixon certainly hadn't done anything to deserve it. It was an act of pure grace on Carter's part. So when the Bible speaks of God's blessing, it speaks in exactly the same way. For you see, blessing is never a reward for our good behavior. It's a gift of pure, unadulterated grace. My challenge to all of us, be a face of grace for someone out there that you meet. Be a face of grace when you accept these people just as they are, and then watch as the Holy Spirit cleans them up. I'd like you to stand now as we sing our closing song, Marvelous Grace. What a journey each of us is taking, Heavenly Father. What a journey we've already been through, and what a journey that lays ahead. Help us to be the friend of someone who needs to experience your grace just the way we have. And of course, at the end of it all, we give glory to Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.